Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, 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 everyone. I pray all is doing well. Today, I'm your host, LaShonda Williams. I'm a sexual abuse and life coach. And today, we're going to talk on a subject that's really not talked a lot about, but it needs to be dealt with. I'm also your host for the show, Overcoming the Issues of Life. And so I cover a range of issues that ladies go through and that we need to deal with. And so today we're going to deal with the overcomer of the damages of molestation. And I'm going to do my testimony. I'm going to give it today. I've given it many of times, but I'm going to do it a little different this time. For any of you all that this may be your first time listening to me, you can follow me on Facebook under LaShonda Williams. You can also like my page, Thrive with Purpose, on Facebook. And also as well, I have a group called Overcoming the Issues of Life that you can also become a part of. We discuss all type of issues, like I say, suicide, depression, sexual abuse, which could be molestation, rape. We also cover issues like I said, suicide, depression, low self-esteem, different ranges, verbal abuse, physical abuse, mental abuse. So today I'm going to talk on overcoming of the damages of molestation in my life. I'm an overcomer today. I'm not a victim, I'm a victor. I choose to be a victor. I choose to overcome this issue. I don't allow my issues to overcome me, but I overcome them. I'm more than a conqueror through Christ Jesus. I'm going to give a few terms and definitions of some words. So if you would like to take notes, if you're a note taker like I am, you can take down what some of these words mean. I'm here to help you, ladies. I pray that something that I say today help you all to go through your healing and your deliverance. I also have a healing workbook. It's called My Healing Journey Workbook. It's got a lot of activities. It's got a lot of things in there that you can go through and read and answer the questions. I've learned throughout the years that journaling and expressing my feelings, it's a type of therapy to us. A lot of times we're bogged down with issues and depression and suicidal thoughts and all type of things, low self-esteem, because we hold things in instead of letting them out. The Word of God tells us that we are overcomers by the word, by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. A testimony is something that we verbally give. So a lot of times we suffer through depression and suicidal thoughts and different things because we won't allow ourselves to open up and talk about it and get it out. Journaling is a type of way to express yourself, to get it out of you. High blood pressure, low blood pressure, all of these things, health problems, can stem from you holding issues and things in. So today I'm going to give my testimony, and I'm going to share with you all how the Lord has brought me through molestation as a child and the damages that it had on me, but how I totally surrendered my life to Christ. I allowed the Holy Spirit to heal me, deliver me, and make me whole, and he can do the same for you. And by the way, my workbook, Healing Journey Workbook, you can purchase it on Amazon. It's under my name, LaShonda Williams, Healing Journey Workbook, and I believe it will be a blessing to you. Okay, let's get started. So my first term I want to say is hypersexuality. Hypersexuality. And hypersexuality is an obsession with sexual thoughts, urges, or behaviors that may cause distress or that negatively affect health, job, or relationships. A lot of times when we have suffered through sexual abuse or rape or molestation, for whichever one it was, it can cause us to be hypersexual Or in my case, it caused me to not like sex. It made me look at sex as nasty and disgusting. And so I'm going to get into my testimony so that I can, you can get a little background of what I'm coming from. Okay. When I was 5 years old, I was molested by a relative. And as I began to go throughout life, I went to an adult, and they didn't believe me. They said I was lying. They didn't hear, you know, they didn't want to hear it, and they didn't want me to ever speak of it again. I was just ostracized, pushed to the side. And the cousin that molested me was way much older than I was. Like I said, I was 5. And he would often push me on the ground and bump my head on the ground, and he would get on top of me and just force himself on me, and it was very painful and hurt. Think about that as a 5-year-old little girl, scared, hurting. And he told me, he said, if you tell anybody, they're not going to believe you because they said all you do is lie anyway, which that is what they said. So as a child, I'm scared. I don't know what I should do when I tell someone they don't believe me. So I shut down. I had to grow up with all of that pain in me. I felt so nasty, and I felt I had a hatred toward men. I was never drawn sexually or any way to a woman, but I just really wasn't drawn sexually to a man. And because I had father issues, because my father was not in my life, and I really had a hatred toward my father. You know, I thank God for healing and deliverance and for forgiveness. So I'm not going to go into that right now, but in which I have forgiven my father, and I love my father, and I pray, you know, pray for him and be there for him if he needs me. But back to the molestation. So as a 5-year-old girl, I had to grow up and go around the same person that molests you, especially if they're relatives. So I'm going around them for Thanksgiving, Christmas, all holidays and stuff, and everybody's just partying with him like, you know, nothing happened to me. Nothing's going on. But it was hurtful to me. So I grew up being bitter and angry and frustrated. And like I said, I had a hatred toward men. And I remember going throughout life, and I was also verbally abused by a close relative. That used to call me stupid and black and ugly and said you're never going to be anything. Nobody would never want you. So just think about adding that verbal abuse and the physical, because it will be times that she will physically abuse me. But this is a generational curse in the bloodline. And this is a generational curse. And I know I'm black, so I can't speak for other races, but I know in our race of people, in our culture, the black culture, this is never spoken about, and it's swept under the rug, and it's hurtful to the child, and you're told to shut up and never speak about it, and you should do, no matter who it is family, and you should love family no matter what. You should, you know, stick together no matter what they do to you, how they hurt you. But that's a lie from the pit of hell. I'm going to bust that lie open from hell today. The devil is a liar, because many of children are suffering today because the parents, it's a generational curse, have been molested or raped by a family member, and we grew up with bitterness and anger and wasn't able to be open and honest and go through healing and counseling, you know, because it does something not just to your body. But it did something to my mind. It did something to my heart. It did something to the way I perceive sex. Sex is beautiful between a husband and a wife, because that's what God created sex for. But when you have been molested or when you have been raped, you perceive sex as a whole totally different outlook. Saved or unsaved, it is what it is. Especially even when the problem comes in, ladies, when we come over here, we give our lives to Christ, we love in the Lord, we are living according to the word of God, but we have this facade put on us. We're so used to wearing this mask because we're afraid to really be open and honest about what we hold in our heart, what we, how we really feel, how the tears we shed at night, how we can't feel like we can't open our mouth and share this. You know, I was thinking, I was talking with someone the other day, and I told him, I said, you know, we can stand up in church and we can testify and flip over pews and tear up our wigs and our heels. Someone stand up and says, you know, God delivered me from alcohol. God delivered me from crack or cocaine or drugs, whatever it be. And everybody, oh, thank you, Jesus, and just celebrating with you and turning over pews. But you stand up as a woman and say, you know, I thank God for healing me and delivering me and making me whole from being molested and raped by a close relative. Even though when I was a child and I told an adult, they didn't believe me, and they made me go around my attacker, around my rapist, around my molester. But, you know, God healed me. He delivered me. He made me whole. He helped me to release the anger, the bitterness. And now I pray for my attacker, for my molester, for my rapist. I pray that God save him. I pray that God deliver him. I pray that he doesn't hurt another child like he hurt me. You know, that's the way we have to be. But we put up this facade and for years, and we really can't be open and honest. Well, today I'm going to do some real talk. I'm going to keep it real with you. I don't come to play. I come to keep it real. I come to keep it you moving. I want you to see you thrive with purpose. That is the name of my business. I have my coaching business is called Thrive with Purpose. And when we think about the word thrive, thrive means to prosper, to flourish. God wants us to prosper and flourish in our lives that he created us to have while we're on this earth. But when we have been molested and raped, that's the enemy comes in to do what? We're going to talk about that. He comes in to kill, steal, and destroy. But God said he came to give us life. So when we are over here in Christ, God wants us to walk in our purpose. He wants us to thrive. Thrive means to prosper and flourish. 3 John chapter 2 says, beloved, I pray that you prosper in all things. That means in your mental health capacity. Yes, because being molested and raped, it will take a toll on your mental thoughts. Your life, period. It was times in my life I didn't know whether I was going or coming. It was times in my life I felt I had low self-esteem about myself. I felt like I was stupid, black, ugly, ignorant, nasty. I mean, those were that, even though no matter how people said, you're such a beautiful young lady. You have beautiful dark skin. You have beautiful white teeth and smile. But I couldn't see that. When I looked in the mirror, all I saw because of those words, death and life and the power of the tongue, we've got to be careful with what we're speaking over people and what we're speaking over our children because words are powerful. But and people say, well, you don't got to receive that. No, you don't. But when you are a child, you don't know how to rebuke things. You haven't been taught how to bind and loose. You haven't been taught those things. So the devil knows that. So he takes great advantage of that. So he comes in here and he doesn't want you to thrive with purpose in your life. He wants you to just be a hypocrite, put on a fake mask, jump and shout. Well, let me just inform you, sisters, that jumping and shouting and running around a building, It's not going to change your issues. The issue is there. The problem is there. And you need to deal with it because if you don't, it will deal with you. And it will make you hypocritical instead of thriving in life the way God designed for us to thrive in our purpose. It says here that I wish, beloved, I pray that you prosper in all things. That means everything. And be in health just as your soul prospers. When you have been molested and raped, it's like a part of your soul is just, it's damaged. It's like they take a piece of you. You know, I'm going to do a teaching on sex is spiritual because a lot of people don't teach that, but that's what it is. Sex is not just physical. Sex is not just to get a thrill and feel good, but it's spiritual. It has a spiritual aspect on your life. That's why the word of God tells us that we are to flee fornication. That means run from it. Why? Because he said to become one. So how do two become one? Through, you can become one through your sex. So when you are molested or raped, it was not your fault. It was not your fault at all. But it does not change the aspect that sex is spiritual. So now it took a part of your soul. Hallelujah. And when you come to Christ, you have to allow the Holy Ghost to heal, deliver you, and make you whole. Hallelujah. I like to put it this way. Even though I was molested and I was raped as that child, when I came to Christ, old things are passed away, all things have become new, but I still had to deal with the issue that I was molested. So I had to go and I had to pray and I had to cry out to God and I asked him to deliver me. I remember teaching a sermon one time called Give Me My Soul Back, because not only was I molested and raped as a child, but I was also, before I came to Christ, I was willfully sinning. I was a fornicator and I had sex with guys. Not that I wasn't even married to, that they would treat me any kind of a way, do any kind of a thing to me. Why? Because I felt like that was love, but that was really lust. But I had no idea of the ramifications and the damage that having living in fornication, and that sex is spiritual, and that whoever I give my body to, my heart, my soul to, that they take a piece of me. So I wasn't whole. So I had to cry out to God to make me whole, to help with my mental capacity, the way I perceive things, the way I perceived myself, perceive me to see myself. I had to see myself the way God sees me, fearfully and wonderfully made. I am beautiful. Yes, Lord. And that I deserve to have a man to love me, honor me, and respect me, because he said husbands, not boyfriends, but husbands, love your wife. And women, we have to know that we are worthy of that. We have to know that we deserve that, that that's what God created us for, and not settle for anything less. Come to a point in our lives that, you know what, I may have been molested, I may have been raped, I may have been whatever, sexually abused, fondled, whatever, but I choose this day that, devil, you are not going to come in and you are not going to steal my life. You are not going to steal my mind. You are not going to steal my heart. I'm going to be whole. I'm going to be healed. I'm going to be delivered, and I'm going to walk in my purpose. I'm going to, as a matter of fact, devil, I'm going to thrive in my purpose, because that's what God wants me to do. That's what God created me to do. I'm going to prosper and flourish, hallelujah, in my purpose. So today I'm speaking to each and every woman under the sound of my voice. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, I declare and decree, hallelujah, that listening to this video, that you will decide today that I am worth it, that I am taking my life back, that this day, hallelujah, I will choose to thrive with and in my purpose and what God, who God created me to be. Glory be to God. So I want to deal with another scripture, because this is what the enemy did. See, the enemy looked down the line, just like God created each and every last one of us with a purpose. The devil looked down and he said, I got to do something to destroy her. I got to do something to kill, steal, and destroy her mind. He don't care about your stuff. He'll give you a brand new car. He'll give you a brand new house. He'll give you all of the materialistic things. But just don't love Jesus Christ. Just don't accept him as your personal savior. Just don't walk in his will for your life. Just don't be the woman that God created you to be, loving him. Just don't fulfill the purpose that God created you to be. Because the enemy hates God and he hates you and me, because we were created in God's image. And we were all destined and born with a purpose, and that was to worship and praise God. So we all have gifts and talents and different things that God has, spiritual gifts that God has placed inside of us, not just for us, but for the body of Christ. Hallelujah. We have been called. We have been chosen. So John chapter 10 says, the thief comes only to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. See, we're going to start with the beginning of that scripture. The thief comes only to steal and to kill and to destroy. See, the enemy looked down the line and said, I got to do something to destroy LaShonda. I gotta do something. Let me send him. Oh, see, we wrestle not against flesh and blood. We got to keep this in our mind. We're not wrestling against your first cousin or your second cousin or your daddy or your granddaddy or your third cousin or whoever molested you, the family friend, or whoever molested or raped you. We are not wrestling against that individual's flesh. We wrestle not against flesh, but against spiritual things. Wickedness in high places. We're not wrestling in flesh and blood. It's not that person, but it's that spirit of the devil that he sent them to kill, steal, and destroy you. What he gonna kill? What he gonna steal, LaShonda? He don't want your stuff. Remember that. He wants to kill and to steal. Steal means to take. He comes to take. Take what? He come to take your relationship with God. He come to take your faith. Because if he can get you to focus on what happened to you and what they did to you and get you to get bitterness and anger against that individual instead of praying for that individual, then he's coming to take your faith. Because the Bible tells us that if we don't forgive those who have hurt us and trespassed against us, then our Heavenly Father cannot forgive us. So in order for us to even be saved, we have to forgive the individual that molested us or raped us, and it's not easy. I had to cry, snot, beg, Lord, help me, Jesus. But I had to want to forgive because he said if you don't forgive those who have hurt you and trespass against you, your Heavenly Father cannot forgive you. So if you want to be healed today, ladies, if you want to forgive today, ladies, let me tell you, it's not going to be easy. But you go to God today in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, and you say, Lord, I'm ready to forgive the person that molested me or raped me. I choose to forgive him. Help me, God, because I need your forgiveness, because I can't move forward in my life, and the enemy has stolen enough. My peace, my joy, and I refuse to give him anything else in my life. Okay, so that's what he came to do, to steal, to take. Take your joy, steal your peace of mind, steal your love, the love of Christ. I remember when I first got saved and I came to the Lord and I was like, I read that scripture, if you don't forgive those who have hurt you. Because a lot of times we can say a little, they tell you to say a little short prayer, okay, now you say, and the Holy Spirit would took me to the word and say, you know what? You have to forgive. You have to forgive him. You say you have, but you haven't. See, God know your heart. And I said, well, God, I'm honest. I hate him. He hurt me. He did. He took something from me, God. I said, I don't know what to do, but I want to forgive. And the Holy Spirit, he told me, he said, begin to call his name out and pray for him. And he took me to the scripture also that we wrestle not against flesh and blood. See, the devil saw down the line. He knew God wanted to use you, use me. And he knew what God wanted to do in my life. He knew what hell I was going to bring to his kingdom when I found out who I was in Christ. Oh, yeah, I don't allow you. Yeah, the gates of hell open up in your life when you step out to become who God called you, when you step out to open up your mouth and you begin to give your testimony. But it doesn't matter because greater is he that is within me than he that is in the world. Hallelujah. So pray and ask the Holy Spirit to help you to forgive and let the healing process begin. Kill means to put an end to or cause the failure or defeat of something. That means that enemy wanted to put an end to your life. God said, no, you can't kill her. You can't take her life like he did with Job. But things come into your life. He want to kill your mind, your mental capacity. He want to kill your joy, your peace once again. If he could, he would kill you, but God won't allow him to. So he comes in and he kills your dreams. He kills your vision. He kills whatever God has for you to do. The devil comes in and he begins to kill that vision, kill that dream, that whatever God wants you to put it into or cause the failure or defeat of something. And you seem like everything you do is defeated. Everything you try to do, it fails. But the devil is a liar. Today, make up in your mind, you a liar, devil. I am more than a conqueror through Christ Jesus. I am a victor. I'm not a victim. I am an overcomer. Destroy means to put an end to the existence of something by damaging or attacking it, to knock it down, pull it down. He come to try to pull you down, pull me down, knock us down. Remember when, don't you, that your cousin molested you, your daddy molested you, your whoever raped you and nobody believed you, they did this to you. Yeah, they may did do it, devil, but I choose to forgive them. I choose to love them with the love of God and pray for them, but I am more than a conqueror through Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. I'm the head and not the tail. And I'm going to step out and I'm going to go and I'm going to use my testimony of how my God delivered me, healed me, and made me whole to other women and then let them know that our hope is not gone. Put your hope in Christ Jesus. What he done for me, he can do it for you. Get up, girl. Come on, girl. Let's go. Get up. Let's go. Don't hold your head down. You have no reason to hold your head down. Today, make up in your mind, this is over. I'm getting my life back. I'm going to thrive with purpose. Hallelujah. What does it mean, life? Because he said, the thief comes only to steal and to kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. What does it mean God wants to have life? He wants to have growth. Growth in him. Reproduction. Reproduce after yourself. He put the fruit of the Spirit in you. You go out and show love and peace and long suffering. You bear the fruit of the Spirit. You reproduce the fruit of the Spirit of the Word of God, the love of God. And then you go out and share it, and others are able to reproduce. That means they come out, they take and they begin to do the same reproduction that you're doing. Functional activity. You can get up, girl. You can go out there with your head held high. You can walk in your purpose. You can thrive with your purpose. And you can live the life to the fullest that God calls you to live. And you don't have to walk around in shame and guilt. You don't have to walk around with your head down. Hold your head up, sister. Get you a hobby. Do something. But you let the devil know today it's over. What is the real purpose of life? Purpose can guide life decisions. It can influence behavior. It can shape goals. It can offer a sense of direction. And then it can create meaning to your life. Allow these things. Walk in your purpose, woman. Hold your head up. Don't hold your head down no more. We bind the hand of the enemy right now in the name of Jesus. I hope and pray something that I said encouraged you ladies today. If you've ever been molested, raped, fondled, whatever type of sexual abuse, today is the day to say, you know what, I choose to forgive my abuser and pray for them, and I choose to have life and have it life more abundantly. I choose to thrive with purpose in my life and be the woman that God created me to be. I am healed, I am delivered, and I am made whole. So you all be blessed and whole, made whole, healed, and delivered in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth.